1962, a song written by Carol King and Jerry Goffin topped the worldwide charts. It was sung by King and Goffin's babysitter, who was aged 19. She was mad into music, the song, the locomotion, her name, Little Eva.
I liked Mahalia Jackson and the Laverne Baker and, you know, any singer back there. And I like church songs, spirituals, hymns. I sang in, the baby choir. Then I moved up to the teenage choir. And then I moved up to the adult choir later years. And in school, I was in everything that had anything to do with singing. I was in a group. I forget what we call ourselves, but we used to sing the Chantel songs. And I can't remember any more girl group names then, but the Chantels were a favorite, and we used to do their songs. You know, Maybe, we did that. And we used to win a lot of the contests, you know, if there was a contest. But that's what I like to do. At first, in school, when they ask us to write essays, I would always say I wanted to be a nurse or a singer. Then some friends of mine got killed in a very bad traffic accident, and I changed my mind. I didn't want to be a nurse anymore. Then I just wanted to be a singer. And that was the beginning.
In June 1943, Little Eva was born Eva Boyd in the American South. She came from a poor family of 13. At 17, she moved to New York. She sang with a small vocal group called the Cookies, and she also worked as a babysitter for Goffin and King, the two great songwriters churning out chart-topping hits by the dozen.
The babysitting job was because she had one daughter named Lulu, and she was expecting another. And she had Sherry. And so I ended up, she asked me that I want to, you know, babysit. And I said, well, yeah, you know, that's some extra money. So I became her babysitter, her housekeeper, her maid, or this or that, you know. But in the meantime, I was doing backup with a group called the Cookies. And we did songs for albums, like with Benny King, the Drifters, and the Cookies, of course, and myself, and some other people. I can't remember everybody now, but that's what I was doing before I did Locomotion.
Up on the roof.
Throughout the early 1960s, the songwriting team of Goffin and King was prolific. They wrote massive hits including Will You Love Me Tomorrow, Halfway to Paradise, and this song, Up on the Roof. They had hits with the Drifters, the Shirelles, Bobby V, and they sometimes employed Little Eva Boyd to sing demo discs. One of those demos was a new song and a new dance. Publisher Don Kirshner loved the track and loved the singer. Little Eva's Locomotion was born.
On the roof, the only place.
would go into the studio and do demos. I also did a demo of One Fine Day. You remember that, by the Chiffons? I did that demo and some others. Up on the Roof, I did a demo of that. And I did a demo of Locomotion. Now, they wrote Locomotion for Dee Dee Sharp, who had the Mashed Potato Time. And it never got to, she never saw it. Because when they took it in, Don Kirshner was Carol and Jerry's producer at the time. And they took it in to him, and he liked it. He said, Jerry already thought that it had hit written all over, because, you know, they were just writing hits. Everybody that they wrote for had a hit. So they just knew that, but they didn't tell him that. So when he took it in, he listened to it, Don Kirshner. He said, hey, I want to go with her, you know, but I didn't know this. So what they did was they called me up from New York, because that's where their offices were. And I was in Brooklyn. They called me on the telephone and told me to listen to a certain station at a certain time. So I did. I had the station going, you know, doing my work, tending to the children and stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear Locomotion. But I thought it was Dee Dee Sharp, because I knew they had written it for Dee Dee Sharp. But no, when the vocal came on, it was me. And I said, oh, God, that's me. Wow. Wow, you know, I was just yelling and jumping and screaming and running all over the apartment. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. It was so amazing. I never can explain how I really felt. You just can't explain it. It was wonderful.
June 1962, The Locomotion entered the Billboard charts. In August, it shot to number one in the USA. By September, it was number two in Britain. It became a worldwide smash hit recording, and the singer, 5 feet tall, was Little Eva.
I always said I was a country girl. I'm from North Carolina, and I was so innocent. I didn't know anything about this big life, especially the rock business. And it was so awesome. You know, I learned. I grew up real fast. I'll put it that way. I had to learn to cope. I had to train myself to become this big person that I had become overnight. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun learning. I had a lot of help along the way. You know, other stars like the Shirelles and the Supremes, everybody, they help you. You know, if you don't know, they tell you, you know, you do like this, and you groom yourself to perform on stage. You use your hands a certain way. And singing I could do. But, you know, you have certain things you have to do when you're on stage. Dancing I could do. So that wasn't a problem. And I had a lot of help, and it was great. But it was the biggest thing that had ever happened to me besides being born.
We've been friends for oh so long. I let you share what's mine. But when you mess with the boy I love, it's time to draw the line. Keep your hand off my baby. I ain't gonna
Following the locomotion, Little Eva released her second hit recording. It was called Keep Your Hands Off My Baby. It went top 20. She soon had three more hits, packed tours, LPs, EPs, but she was broke, on a wage of $50 a week with nothing to show for her success.
It was part of the scene back then. I mean, it was just like making a record. It's the way they did business. Everybody got the same deal. I mean, I can't say I got treated any worse than anybody else did. It was just what happened. I don't understand why it happened, but I know it did. You know, everybody tells the same story. I'm not the only one that says that. It happened because there was nobody to really look out for us, you know, and these people are great. They give us a chance, you know, to do what we need to do with our talent. But they didn't look out for us financially. And that's just all there is to it. I mean, it hurt. It hurt me more than it made me bitter. It hurt me because I felt like I was part of that, you know, part of them. And it just hurt me. You know, I was just so disillusioned because I really believed that if I ever needed any amount of money, that it would always be there. And then when I found out, the only thing that could happen to me was hurt me. It hurt. And that's, you know, it hurt me so bad until I just lost heart for it. I just didn't believe in it anymore.
All you have to do is wonderful, my hand.
Throughout 1963, Little Eva continued to record and perform. She toured Britain, she broke box office records in Paris, and she also continued to chart. However, her fame was now dipping, her star fading, and by 1964, her recording success had diminished. Little Eva's career was all but over.
I just know when I'm in your
I don't know if it was they were still trying to stay in the dance mode or what. I don't know. Like, they came off it with Keep Your Hands off of My Baby, and then they went back to the dance mode again. I don't know if that's what it was, or it was just one of those one-time big hits. I don't know. I really don't know what happened. Not because they couldn't write, because they did, you know. But it just was, Locomotion was so big, I guess they couldn't top it. I don't know. And by that time, I found out that I didn't have any money anyway. You know, the money that I thought was there wasn't. And that's a long story, something that I have gotten over. And I don't really talk about it because I get royalties now. So it's not like I'm not getting anything, because I do get royalties. And that was a bad time in my life. It really was. My mom passed. I'm almost broke. If I didn't keep gigging, I wouldn't have had anything. But then after I found out about that, I didn't have the heart for it anymore. I just didn't have the heart. And so eventually I just gave it all up.
Darling, don't you know I want the best thing for you? But if the best thing for you isn't me, I'll understand. If you found another girl who satisfies you more than I do, run.
1971, after 10 years in the business, little Eva finally quit. By then, her marriage had broken up. She had three children to raise. Also in that year, her mother died. She returned home to Belhaven, North Carolina, to a life of hardship and poverty. She cleaned houses and cleaned police cells, and she also went on welfare to feed her family.
If somebody else can make you happier, then I can make you run to her. My tears will dry. If it's me you want to love you, I'll be more than glad to love you till your life is done. But darling, if I'm not the one, then run to her.
Basically, I was what you could say a custodian. I was cleaning the police where I live in North Carolina. I was cleaning the police station, the courthouse buildings, you know, the offices annexed, and I had a few houses that I did. And that's where I made my living for a while. And I had welfare and food stamps. It was pretty rough, but I'm the type of person that whatever happens, I make the best of it. You know, I didn't waste time grieving or worrying over it because it was over. You know, at the time, it was over. So I did what I had to do because I had children and I had to take care of them, you know. My husband and I separated, and I had, I had kids before I separated them. But then we tried to get back together, and I had another kid. So, you know, so I had to do something to help myself, and that's what I did.
In North Carolina, little Eva returned to the church where she again found God. She sang in the church choir, she attended service, she patched up her marriage, had two more children, but then, tragically, her husband died. She developed an interest in gospel music and she found solace in her newfound religious beliefs.
Tonight your mind completely. You give your love.
Evaluated my values because I was raised to be a good girl. Not that I became a bad girl. But, you know, you get away from your upbringing if you leave home and you're on your own. So I was involved in some things that weren't very Christian, like, you know, like I learned how to drink a little bit and smoke and all that. You know, I still smoke, but not heavy. But I got away from the church. In other words, I stopped going. I didn't stop believing in God because I knew he was real, you know, because I was raised to believe that. And but I didn't, you know, have a church home or things like that or go to church. And then when I first left the business and I was so disillusioned and so sad and so heartbroken that, no, I didn't turn to God because of that. Eventually, I turned to God because I found out I needed him in my life, you know. And then I began to go back to church, and I began to take part in the choirs again and sing. And that was a fulfillment for me. You know, it was a good thing for me. You know, I don't try to force people into believing what I believe, but to me it's real, and it still is. It was real then, and it's real to me now. Because I knew at a time in my life this happened, and it was more fulfilling than anything other than becoming Little Eva and singing Locomotion. It was more real than that because it's lasting. You know, Locomotion is lasting. But my status as a superstar went down the tubes, you might as well say, even though I'm still alive because of Locomotion. But let's face it, we already said it didn't happen forever. But Jesus is forever.
In the late 1980s, Little Eva was rediscovered. She was working as a waitress. People magazine found out. Soon, she was back in business.
Looks like I've been another night with the boys. I tried to call on the phone, but you weren't home. I guess that you made some other plans. So I'll just get out the cards and round up a couple of hands.
What looks like I'll spend another night the girls. I know you're out on the town, you're running around again, and if they ask me why I'm not with you, I guess I have to confess that
must I be denied the thrill of your kiss? What did I do to you to be treated like this? Why must I spend?
Why must I spend
another
big break came when I got the job in the restaurant, and that's where I was when People Magazine found me. And People Magazine found me because they do this thing, Where Are They Now? And they were looking for me, and they saw this article that this lady in Belhaven had came in. She called them, as a matter of fact, to tell them about me, where I was and what I was doing, because they do Where Are They Now, and she wanted them to know where I was. And so they contacted me, and they came to North Carolina. and did an interview. They sent cameras, crew, TV crew, everything to my house. And they did this big interview. And through that, everybody started contacting me. All the magazines, all the TV stations. In the restaurant where I worked, every TV station where I lived and from all over the world came and did interviews with me. And I still wouldn't consent to go back into the business. Well, in the 8 months that followed, this very kind, wonderful man named Gary Cape contacted me. And the reason he contacted me, because he saw this big write-up about me in a magazine called Goldmine, and it was out of Norfolk, Virginia. And he sent the man that did the interview to find me. And he came and he talked with me, and he told him to tell me to call him. So I went to the telephone booth, and I called him. And he asked me, would I please come back in the business, because there was people that really loved Locomotion and they loved me. I said, yeah, right. They love me, all right. And yeah, they might like Locomotion, but I mean, here I am over 50. What in the world would I do out there, you know? So I wouldn't consent. It took me 8 months. And he called and he talked to me and he would encourage me. You know, he talked. He became my friend. His family became my family, you know, per se. And so then what really changed my mind was the fact that there was a lot of people like disc jockeys and newspaper people and people that wrote me and told me that I need to do something about a certain thing that was happening. And I said, what is it? They release your record again in the UK. There's people that's covering your record that are making a living off your record, and you're not making a living because, I mean, what are you doing? You know, these people were concerned. Okay, so that started me listening, you know. And then Kylie Minogue from Australia did it, and they did an in-depth interview with she and I over the telephone. And then that was the third thing, but the fourth thing was this guy called Michael McKnight, I believe, from BBC TV or radio or something. He said, you know that they are using your song to push these other songs. And I knew that because I've been told so many times. And I still didn't, you know, yeah, I'm thinking about it. And he said, you know, you don't have to do what you're doing. You can make a living again, a decent living, or you know, live beyond what you're living, the way you're living. And I said, well, that's right. And then the people kept saying. But what really decided me was the fact that Gary said, you need to do this for you. You know, don't listen to, I mean, it's good that these people are concerned. He said, but you think about what you want to do. So I said, well, you know, I'll try. And if I don't or can't do it, then I don't have to.
Well, come on, everybody, let's start the party again.
Throughout the 1990s, Little Eva once more made a living from music. She toured on the 60s circuit with Bobby V, she appeared with Little Richard, and her recording of The Locomotion continued to sell well. It was revived time after time, sometimes her version, sometimes by other stars, and it kept her name in the spotlight as a legend from times gone by.
Yeah.
if I had to do it all over again, I would do it, but I would be wiser because I know about it now. When you're 17, you don't have any business acumen whatsoever. You don't know the ins and out of contracts. You don't know the percentage of the money from the record that you don't even worry about it. I've heard this story from everybody. You don't think about that. You know, I didn't even worry about getting $50 a week. I mean, it wasn't that I couldn't get more money. You know, like if I needed this, that, or the other, I could get the money for it. You know, go buy my clothes that I needed for staging and all that stuff. Or for everyday, you know, just sports clothes or whatever. But it never entered my mind that there wouldn't be any money if I really needed some until it happened. And when it happened, it hurt. Heard a lot.
Come on, let's turkey trot.
In 1998 and 2000, Little Eva toured once more in Britain, and she continued to perform until 2001, when she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. She continued to live back in America. She conducted this interview with me. And then, in April 2003, she died. Age 59, the massive star of the Locomotion passed on.
All your cares will be forgotten, yeah. Come on, let's turkey try.
The best part of it is I appreciate the people believing in me and still being around for me. That's the best part of all. Because if there's no people, then there's no Little Eva. So how can I appreciate myself and not appreciate the people that's keeping me alive, keeping the record alive? So that's the best part of the whole thing. But now I appreciate the fact that after all these years, that they still are there. And that's the greatest thing of all. Locomotion is a fun song. It's you can dance to it. You can move around the room with a whole line of people. It's like line dancing to country music, and it's just fun to do. You know, you can make up your own dance if you don't know how to do it. You can do what you want to do to it. I see people doing things that I don't even do. You know, it's downstage when I'm on stage, I look and they're doing like hand jive and you know standing in line. Because they're not moving, they do other things to it. So I feel like I've left a legacy. Locomotion is a legend. And that's my contribution.
Locomotion with me. Come on, you gotta swing your hips.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.